The music of India comes to us as a tradition that has grown without interruption for thousands of years. Along the way, it has taken on a complexity in both its melodic and its rhythmic identity that makes most Western music seem downright simple. Two of its signature instruments are the sitar, the stringed instrument with sympathetic drone strings, and the tabla, the amazingly melodic hand drum. Pandit Nayan Ghosh is a sitar master, and he's on hand in CR7 this morning. Good morning, Nayan.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for coming in. And I can't tell you how beautiful that instrument is. Anyone who's ever seen a sitar up close has to be amazed by the craftsmanship of it, to say nothing of the sound.
Yeah.
When did you fall in love with it?
Around the age of 8 or 10, when I started playing the sitar. But
relatively late then.
Relatively late, because I started with tabla and vocal music very early, in infancy, I would say. I gave my first broadcast at the age of 4.
Wow. For the Indian musician, being a musician is... It almost has a religious kind of devotion, doesn't it? It's a lifetime of dedication.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Is that an accurate description?
Absolutely fine. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you really need to dedicate a full lifetime for.
An Indian friend in New York told me a story about an American millionaire who went to India and said, "I want to learn sitar." And he approached the sitar master and he said, "I have 6 months, and I'll give you all day long. I want to learn sitar. What can you teach me in 6 months?" And he said, "I can teach you how to hold it." That's about right, isn't it?
Almost, yes. I mean, 6 months is a good time to learn some of the very basics. But in a way, yes, that was a signal to that person, to the millionaire, I suppose, that it requires a whole life.
Well, and also that the Western way of doing, taking an easy path isn't
going
to help you very much in learning the sitar. But, you know, talking about the melodic complexity of Indian music, I was reflecting on the fact that in the space of what we consider an octave, and you know, the 12-tone octave in Western music, from one C to another, we have 12 tones. How many in that same space in Indian music?
Essentially, the 12 same semitones are all present as the primary notes, but there are microtones also.
You have notes within, though, same space.
Yeah, and not that they are always used in every melody, but in certain melodies it demands the use of those microtones, and totally there are 22, including those 10 microtones.
So add 10 to the 12 that we know about, the black and white keys on a piano.
That's right. Yeah.
Could you play me just a little example?
Yeah, for example, if we just take the flat second, and if this is the keynote, if this is the keynote, this note in certain melodies will be, you can see that.
Just a...
Yeah.
Not all the way to C sharp,
no.
But...
Yeah. This is C sharp. And some melodies it would go...
Not quite.
Yeah.
What we consider just...
Yes. Yeah.
So that actually has a place in the melodic framework. And
also,
when you played those notes, you could hear that sort of chimey resonance. That's the sympathetic strings, right?
Not really. Those are the other drone strings,
strings
on the top. There are sympathetic strings are only for giving an extra sustain and resonance. Here let's say, these are the drone strings. This is the main string. These are the sympathetic strings.
I see. Sympathetic strings being strings that vibrate when they feel the vibration of another string on the instrument.
That's right. Now, for example, you hear that extra sustain.
Yeah.
If I were to stop that sympathetic,
it would just be one string vibrating.
Yes.
Yeah, so, now it's almost as if that other, the sympathetic string vibrating were just a fraction off from the original note.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
So you get that feeling. You're aware of the second string, and it's not a true exact pitch. It's kind of like two pitches very, very close to one another.
Yes, and I mean, it serves almost like an echo, you know.
Yeah, that.
If I stop it.
Well, it's what gives it a sort of a haunting, ethereal quality.
That's right, ethereal
it?
Quality. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to just keep you talking when you've got that wonderful instrument in your hand. Can you just play me a kind of a short little fragment?
Sure.
Pandit, that was just fantastic. And, you know, for a Western musician, I think that that's a common experience for a lot of Western musicians, that our experience of Indian music is one of being just so tremendously inspired mm-hmm. by the depth of the music.
Yeah. There is, so much of depth and various emotions, and especially the philosophical depth. You find a lot in Indian music. Yeah.
That has a lot to do with its being ancient, doesn't it?
True, yeah. So it has evolved over so many centuries.
Yeah. It's just, it is so, so exciting to hear you play that. Thank you so much for coming on
Thank
the show.
Thank you.
Pandit Nayan Ghosh and his son Ishan Ghosh will perform tonight at the Honolulu Museum of Arts Doris Duke Theater, and details are on our HPR website.